B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stephon Gilmore, what's the latest you can tell us there with Stephon?
Yeah, the flags went up last week when we saw that Stephon Gilmore put his house up for sale and basically put it out there that he wanted all the buyers to put in the amount that they wanted to pay for his home by the 5 o'clock Eastern time, which is about an hour after the NFL trade deadline. Well, maybe he knows something we don't, but here's what I can tell you. Those teams that are interested in Stephon Gilmore are being told by New England it's going to be a hefty price. They're looking for a first-round draft pick along with a player if they want to make a deal for their all-pro cornerback. Now, we know Bill Belichick really likes Stephon Gilmore. He's obviously a great locker room guy. He's been incredibly productive. He is dealing with a little bit of a knee injury right now, but I'm told as of right now, there are no takers at this point.
That was Diana Rossini this morning on ESPN. So again, T-minus 52 minutes to trade Stephon Gilmore. They want a first and a player. I'll get to that in a second. Rossini said there that Bill Belichick obviously really likes him and he's a great locker room leader. Do we believe those things to be true anymore?
No.
No.
Okay, I think Bill's done with him, and I think he's been, he's peed in the pool, basically, the last couple months.
Yeah, and just say, because it just moved, Tom Curran says that one of the issues that's holding up a deal is wariness about Gilmore's future. And that has a quote from a league executive saying he's an attractive option, but the flip side is how much it will cost in trade comp and how hard he will push to get a new deal with a potential new team.
Well, so basically, they gave him a bump this year, but they took away from next year's salary. So he's only on the only set to make, was it like $7 million next
year? Yeah, I think that's right.
Which is way, way, way. So he's not going to play for anyone. I mean, Greg was saying he'll do another wildcat strike here. He'll do that anywhere.
Yep.
He's not going to play for that anywhere. So whoever trades for him now has to re-up him starting next year. Not like, they don't get a year of service time out of him. They get
Correct.
No service time out of him. So he's like, for all intents and purposes, like a free agent. You got to come up with a whole new deal for him. So a first and a player, Greg, feels like a pipe dream.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, you're going to have to give up all that compensation. Then he probably still wants to be the highest paid cornerback in the league. Like, good luck to whoever wants that, considering all the financial restraints that teams are going to go through with COVID. It shrinks down the market for Gilmore a ton.
Bill's going to stick it to him. He's going to stick it to him, right? Because, again, look, they're asking for a lot, which means that, no one's going to give it to you, so you're going to let him rot. I mean, that's how I read that. I don't know. Maybe Bill will change here in the last 50 minutes and completely reverse field, but I doubt it.
Okay, less than an hour to go. Your thoughts on everything we've talked about so far or anything else football related? Let's grab Bob in Westboro on the Bill Belichick excuse tour. Go ahead, Bob. Bobby! Okay, babe, call us back. You know the number. Charlie in Cranston. Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to ask, Felger, could you provide some examples about what you're talking about when you're putting ownership on the table? Like, for me, the thing I'm thinking about are the Steelers who are undefeated in the Roonies. Is that how they manage things? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm just talking about what the team spends. That's just something you can grade a team on or analyze a team on. And it bothers me in the NFL that teams that don't spend blame the salary cap because it's a lie. And so I just don't like being lied to. And it's, again, the Patriots, it's unbelievable. I mean, that they're in this kind of cap trouble, which, again, I don't think they are, but they're claiming they're in this kind of cap trouble when they've spent no money, when they've spent the least amount of money, real money in the league over the last 5 years. I just think that deserves to be mentioned and pointed out that it's like a double lie. Their quote unquote cap problems are, self-inflicted by poor drafting and bad personnel moves. And oh, by the way, it's bullcrap on top of it because they haven't really spent any real money. So they're like in this sort of fictional jail that they just created by their own doing. I don't know. That's all. And ownership is a part of that. That's all.
Felger, I warned you. You're going to have to go. You go down this road, you're going to have to go down a rabbit hole.
I understand.
And it's just not worth it. Because I've always believed, and what I've been told, is that the Patriots are a cash-to-cap team, which is basically their budget for each year is what the salary cap is for that season. And the Patriots have been in the ballpark in terms of that over the years. They haven't reached it for sure, and I'm sure it accumulates in terms of money. But look, Belichick's in charge of all that. I think he gets off on, you know, spending less than other people. And look, we all know how he has stuck it to certain players, and certainly they paid for certain players as well. But I think Bill gets some enjoyment out of keeping the cost down.
Oh, he definitely does.
Absolutely does.
He look again, and this is
a way to control players. It's another form of control for him.
Totally. And again, in cash spending in 2016, they were 28th. They won the Super Bowl that year. So, like, I look at it and say, I don't care, Bill, if you don't have money to spend. If you're as good as everyone says you are and as you say you are, then the money shouldn't be an issue. Your drafting has sucked.
100%. I don't even think you need to spend a lot. I just don't like being lied to. That's all. Simple as that. Okay? I just a little glitch that I have. I don't like being lied to blatantly like that. And it also bothers me, Greg, all the water carrying that the local media does for the team when it comes to this. And that also, you know, really rubs me the wrong way. Can we just keep it real? I mean, just keep it real. Okay? It's a business. It's a business. And there's years you spend, there's years you don't spend. And that's what it is. It's not the cap, and it's not nobody's fault. Of course there's fault. Of course you made bad moves. And of course, you know, like, let's just keep it real. Don't tell me it's a cap problem when you've spent the least amount of money in the league over the last 5 years. It's just disingenuous.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I don't care what Bill says about people, you know, you can read into it if you want. You can listen, you know damn well what we're going to do with it. And I believe that he was trying to point a finger at ownership and at Brady. I include Brady because, frankly, ownership and Brady were basically in cahoots. Bill looked at it as two against one. The owner's signing with the quarterback, so I'm screwed. So you know what? I'm throwing them both under the bus.
It's all part of the excuse tour by Bill Belichick. COVID, practice time, salary cap. Didn't have any money. What do you want me to do? It's just all I'm trying to weasel out of it, you know, any responsibility.
Does Bill ever give any of his money back? Does he ever do that? I'm just curious.
Good question. David Amherst, go.
Hey, I just want to say that my biggest aggravation is I think Josh McDaniels hasn't had a real clue on how to use Cam Newton from game one. When Denver stacked the box, they had no answer, no quick slants. The last play against Seattle, he has really sucked, and they run. They should have been throwing that this last weekend. That should have been a pass to try one time into the end zone. The play calling has been terrible.
So I don't blame Josh for not throwing into the end zone. That's Bill's call. All this stuff, the thing that I think Josh gets unfairly blamed for are the draw plays on third down and not throwing into the end zone at the end of the half. That's a head coach's call.
Absolutely.
You know, Josh, we're going to kick it here. Josh, let's not do anything stupid. Josh, let's just, you know, Josh doesn't send out the field goal team. Bill sends out the field goal team.
I had less of an issue with the play calling this week than I did in a couple of weeks prior. And again, Greg, maybe it's all a reflection on Newton, but I thought that they did sort of go back to some of that read option stuff, and we saw more designed runs for Newton in this game.
Yeah, I just think they went back to
square
what
one.
They knew they could do. Yeah, I don't think people comprehend like how bad Cam Newton has been the previous 2 weeks. I mean, he has been atrocious. He has not looked like an NFL quarterback. He hasn't been an NFL quarterback the previous 2 weeks. So basically the Patriots had to go back, and offensively they stunk up the joint. I mean, 6 field goals in 8 quarters is a joke in this league. And the 49ers aren't even all that great on defense, and the Broncos aren't either. They have injuries all over the place. They were playing like the Broncos were playing defensive backs from like the Arena Football League, for crying out loud, and the Patriots couldn't do anything. People don't understand. They got spoiled from 20 years that you can just, all right, have a bad day at the office, and then next week you snap your fingers and all of a sudden you score 45 points. Like, the rest of the NFL does not work that way. Cam Newton could not function as an NFL quarterback the previous 2 weeks. So what they had to do, they were turning the ball over like a bakery. They were turnover factory. So what they had to do is, the number one thing going into this game was, don't turn the ball over. That means don't throw in long yardage. Not in second and long, not in third and long. We're going to run the ball. We're going to punt. We're going to try to play defense. And hopefully we're close in the second half to where maybe we might even score a touchdown this week. And so for people to criticize McDaniels, look, I get it. But you have to change your reality in terms of where this team is as an offense, and stop dreaming about who Cam Newton, who you think he is, and realize who he is. And he's not Lamar Jackson. He does not run a lot. That's not what he does. He doesn't roll out and throw passes. He throws from the pocket. He takes forever. He takes forever to process. And they had to start at the first step for him. And they had to basically execute about six pass plays in this game that they knew that he could execute. That's where they are. That's where they needed to be. And just let him be and let him grow from here.
Big boy's getting warm.
Yeah.
Okay. He woke up.
Here I come, like a hot big boy.
Here comes 10 questions with the hot big boy right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Jimmy, let's be quick. We're late here. Go ahead. Give me options.
Why are we even discussing it if they just had the chance to reset?
I think it's a fun topic.
Okay. I think it's useless.
Okay. Next.
Well, you're stupid. I'm stupid. No, you're stupid. Stupid.
He was stupider. Vegas gives him a 25% chance.
How do you figure?
Well, I just sort of, they're 25 to 1. What does that mean?
No, that's a 4% chance.
Okay, again. Go.
Four goals on two shots in the first period.
Felger Maz math. Would you trade Tom Brady for Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
A good one, Mass.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, he sucks some blows. I'll concur with you on that.
Thank you, TJ.
When I saw Hoyer come in the game, I went, oh, my God. 15.9. Quarterback rating of 15.9 for Brian Hoyer. 15.9.
Get that?
F for Alex Cora. So- F.
All right, there you go. Hit whatever.
F for Alex Cora. F.
Last night's game, was that pass interference on the final play last night? Should they have picked up the flag?
Yep. Nope.
So, yes, that was PI. No, they shouldn't have picked up the flag.
Correct. They threw the flag. They saw the contact. You don't pick it up. You don't have replay. Who are they talking to?
Nope, and
you
yes.
You the flag. Call it.
No, and yes. They got it right. That was not PI. That was not PI. If that play happens in the second quarter out at the 50-yard line, they don't call it. So the ref got trigger happy and threw the flag. It was not PI.
Yeah, no PI. Great call. Solid job by the refs.
Oh, shut up, Murray.
Yep.
Shut
great up, job Murray. By the refs. They did an awesome job. Love that Cameron break call.
Brady Bobo.
Loved it.
So I do think there is unofficial replay at work sometimes. You know, I do think they have an earpiece. I do think they get talked to, and I think that there's times. I think it also happened on a targeting call last night as well that they ultimately got right. I think they wait for someone to take a look, and someone whispers in their ear, and I think there is unofficial replay going on all throughout these games, and I think that's what happened. That was absolutely pass interference. That's called across the league 9 times out of 10.
No, I disagree.
Look, I wish it wasn't. I wish it wasn't called, but that's called. That is called most of the time, so I think they got that.
It wasn't playing the ball at all.
Yeah, it was inconsistent is what it was. Next.
Yep, he sucks some blows. I'll concur with you on that.
Give me a grade for Daniel Jones.
F. He's terrible. That guy's awful. He blows. He's a turnover waiting to happen. That's basically, and I tweeted this last night. I said, for some reason, I feel like that's what the Jarrett Stidham experience would be like for Patriots fans. Like, you just hold your breath. Like, all right, when is he going to turn the ball over next?
It'd be worse. Jarrett Stidham would be worse. Daniel Jones gets a C-. Oof. Last year, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks. 12 picks. I mean, I think he gets a half-decent coach and a half-decent team around him. I think he'll be all right.
D-, makes the occasional nice throw, but let's say those numbers in a different way. 21 picks in 20 games. The kid stinks.
So Murray thinks everyone stinks.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even need to ask him. But, boy, he looks the part when you just look at him. if I have to watch him throw one more ball down the field, I'm going to kill myself.
I know. So those picks are ugly. They are.
No, I'm not talking about the picks. I'm not even getting to the picks. I'm talking about the open guys downfield on vertical routes that they kept running, and he kept missing the guy by 10 yards, throwing over the wrong shoulder, floating the ball, throwing it too early. Oh, my God. It was painful to watch. Painful. You keep calling those vertical routes when the kid couldn't throw it in the ocean? Never mind the picks, which are mind-numbing. He doesn't see the field. Like, oh, boy. That guy? Next.
F for Alex Cora. So, F.
If you could have one player off the Bucs roster to put on the Patriots, who would it be? You can pick anyone on the Bucs roster.
It would have been Vita Vea, the defensive tackle, before he got hurt, but I'm going Levante David.
Levante David.
Levante David. Okay, guy's a stud.
What, Murray? What? Again, anyone on the Tampa roster you could put on the Patriots right now.
Yeah. Not I don't Tommy. Want Brady. I don't want Brady back here because Bill pushed him out. I'm glad that he's gone.
Murray doesn't want to subject him to the pain.
Right. I'm not putting him through that again.
He wants what's best for Brady. Yeah, exactly. All right, I get it. Next. Yeah. Would you trade Tom Brady for Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
Okay, good call, Maz. All that, oh, by the way, parenthetically, real quick, that Winfield kid, the rookie safety, not too bad. Unfortunately, he did play Division I football, unlike the guy you traded down for. So, I know Bill wouldn't want that. Why would you want someone that everyone knows and watch play football?
What number pick was he?
He was behind Duggar, I think.
Oh, great.
So, that you would much rather take a guy that no one's heard of. You can be the smartest guy in the room that way. Anyway, number 7, how do we feel about a 16-team playoff if games are lost to COVID? Greg?
Love it. That was part of my COVID plan for the NFL, which was cut down the season, build in the buys, toss out the postseason buys, and make it more of a level playing field because we won't know who the top seed really is this year.
I'm okay with it, but I want to keep the buys. Like, I think those buys, you work for those. Those have value. And the only way to do it with 16 teams in the playoffs is to go back to the second bye.
I sort of hate it because if it happened right now, it means teams like Denver and Atlanta actually get in and they don't deserve to be there. But whatever gets them to keep playing, so fine.
Okay, so I'm just curious. You're going to propose that to the competition committee. Is that going to be what it is, whether they lose games to COVID or not, or they have to lose games to COVID to go to this?
Yeah, there's going to be a certain threshold to in terms of the games that they actually play this season, then that would kick in. It wouldn't kick in automatically.
Okay, next.
Well, you're stupid. I'm stupid. No, you're stupid. Stupid.
He was stupider.
Okay, the Dolphins are looking at Tua. One of the reasons they say because they want to see what they got. And one of those reasons is because they own Houston's first round draft pick. Houston's sitting there with one win. So the Dolphins might be in line to pick one of these quarterbacks at the top of next year's draft. So let's just say this. Should they trade Tua for Justin Field or Trey Lance, Greg?
Nope, I'm keeping Tua.
So I say probably not. I mean, again, because I'm not definitive on it because I need to see more of Tua. He's played one game, for crying out loud. If you can get Lawrence, the answer is yes. Okay. The other two, I don't know.
That's why I took out Lawrence.
I know.
I'm asking, would you trade Tua for Trey Lance or Justin Field?
No. Prior to the hip injury, we're talking about him being number one overall. Kid was a stud at Alabama. You keep him.
Okay. Next.
4 goals on 2 shots in the first period.
Yeah, Felger and Mazmath. This is a all-time biggest tool bag Jet of all time. You got the Jets this week. Biggest, one of the biggest all-time tool bag franchises. Who's the biggest all-time tool bag on that franchise?
Keyshawn Johnson. I just didn't like him. He never stopped running his mouth.
At least he was good. Mark Gastineau.
I knew you were going to say that.
Mark Gastineau. That guy was a tool with a mullet and the... didn't he marry Bridget Nielsen, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, talk about two people deserve, two of the biggest phonies on the planet. Gastineau is a complete tool bag.
I will go with Adam Gase for making this joke of a franchise even more pathetic for now ruining Sam Darnold.
Okay, let's do this. Quick update from Murray, and we'll do the other 5 coming up on the other side. We also have trade deadlines staring you in the face less than, how long, Jimmy?
30 minutes until the NFL trade deadline.
What is this? They're going to find a new quarterback? But they got to find a new quarterback. Tell me they're going to find a quarterback, but
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger, Mass. Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger, Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's finish up the 10 questions. Jimmy, hit it. Give me
Dang.
One. Yep. Would you trade Tom Brady for Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
Maz got that one right. Number four. Right now, the Patriots have the 10th pick in the draft. That's right. They'd be picking in the top 10. Number 10 overall. Okay, don't trade it. Stay there and pick one position. Not even a player. Just give me the position you would draft at 10 overall next year, Greg.
Edge, impact, defense, whatever. Some playmaker on defense.
No, I was asking for a specific position.
Edge.
I said,
edge.
What position?
I want Brousseau, the kid from Miami, 6'6", outside linebacker, rusher.
If one of those three guys slips, quarterback, otherwise linebacker.
Quarterback. It's quarterback. You get the third quarterback.
No, unless he's gone, in which case I'd take a linebacker. And then I'd take a quarterback in the second round.
Next.
Yep, he sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that.
What was the best trade of the Bill Belichick era? I want a player trade, not a draft pick swap. And it doesn't have to be trade deadline. Could be any time. What was the best trade?
Corey Dillon. It put him over the top of some other guys like Moss and Welker because he won a ring.
So the one I like is Aqib Talib.
Yes, that's the one I was going to say.
Seventh round pick. Aqib Talib.
That's a flyer.
I don't Talib, care what it was. It was a great, trade.
Talib could play.
Great trade.
His issue was.
Yeah, but that's a flyer. That's the equivalent of the Tom Brady draft pick. Like, they just sent a seventh round pick. You know, the guy was a pain in the ass in Tampa. They took a chance. It wasn't a great trade. It was a lottery ticket.
Did it work out?
Yes.
Then it's a great trade.
I tried to go for a player for player. They did this years ago when they got Akeem Hicks from the Saints for who, man?
Good one.
Great trade.
Yeah, good
Murray.
One, Murray.
He should have never got away, though.
Very good. Next. Oh, my God. Get to the question. Please, just ask the question. Number two, what's the worst trade of the Belichick era?
Sanu. That was god-awful.
Mohamed Sanu, second-round pick. The only other one that popped into my head was the Coney Ealy deal. They gave up a second for him, but they got a third back.
Yeah, that's right. They just moved down.
Right. So they only dropped one round. The Sanu deal, train wreck.
Yeah.
Disaster.
It's that. Mohamed Sanu, absolute awful player for way too high of a pick.
Last one.
Garoppolo?
Last one.
Oh, good one.
Would you trade Tom Brady for Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
Again, Maz got that one right. You're right. Put Garoppolo on that list. Very good, Stu. If this were another sport... Okay, where trade deadline deals actually were made with big stars and big names. Give me a big trade across the NFL that would make sense and be exciting. Give me a fun trade that would actually make sense.
Julio Jones to the Packers.
Good one.
That is a good one.
I like it.
Okay, mine's a little far-fetched, but work with me. Deshaun Watson to Miami. They get Tua and their pick back.
Ooh, I like that. Mess.
So, because again, Miami has Houston's pick.
I got it.
So Houston's pick will be in. So send Deshaun Watson to Miami, and you get Tua and the pick.
All right.
That's like the draft day movie trade.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mike, you specifically, I want to know what you think of this. Aaron Rodgers to the Dallas Cowboys for three first-round picks. Green Bay is, let's be honest, kind of meh. You lose at home to the Vikings, you're really not going to be going anywhere. You get ahead of the Rodgers thing. You have your quarterback in the future, ostensibly, in Jordan Love. You call up Jarrah when he's all in a brown liquor haze and with whores. And he's in his stupor. You get three picks. He's got a real quarterback. They can probably win that crap division. And you're set for the future with Jordan Love.
Sold.
I love how Murray already has Green Bay buried. Okay, so they've lost two out of three. They're still 5-2 or 6-2 or whatever.
Don't look
now
right.
It's over.
Mass, everybody sucks.
By the way.
And no one can play quarterback.
By the way, first of all, Rodgers would rather retire than go play for McCarthy again than Dallas. Right. So you would have to fire the coach. But I did, on my list, I did have Rodgers to the Saints for two first-round picks and like Taysom Hill or something like that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Murray, did you want to weigh in quickly?
Yeah. So you still make it happen to Dallas. You fire McCarthy, and then you get more picks out of Jerry for Belichick.
Okay.
Hold there you go.
Okay. We'll trade Bill some other time. A guy in Boston has been waiting patiently on last night's football game. Go ahead, Guy.
Let me tell you,
But, Dad, you got a sense of humor. I'm glad you got a sense of humor. I like that sign. But you can't use my sign off. And by the way, Felger, tell Bedard I know where he lives. Thank you.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, Greg wrote on his whiteboard behind him, guy in Boston lies. Thank you.
That's right.
He does have the best sign off in the business.
Absolutely. George and Peabody. Go ahead, George. What do you got?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know why the Patriots ain't that trade? This guy is cheap money, $750,000.
Absolutely. They're not spending anything this year, George. I agree.
They're just nickel and dime guys. That's all they're doing.
It's a nickel and dime kind of year. In case you just joined us, the Patriots have swung a trade. They've traded for a receiver from Miami. Again, give me the name. This is one of these guys.
Isaiah Ford.
I'm going to purposely forget the name. Isaiah Ford. Maz, you've been reading up on him a little bit. What are you reading?
So it looks like he's a slot guy and was praised by Omar Kelly, who's covered the Dolphins on Twitter, in Miami. Omar Kelly says, Patriots fans, you're getting a smart, determined, but somewhat fragile receiver. Ford was routinely praised as Miami's smartest receiver. He can play all three spots, but might be best in the slot. And just so you're aware, Phil Perry has subsequently tweeted that he thinks they're going to put him in the slot and move Myers to the outside.
Okay, and they've given up a seventh-round pick in 2022.
Correct. Not next year's draft, the year after. A seventh-rounder in 2022, so it's a low pick, presumably.
I'm not telling you it's anything of significance. And again, given Bill's track record at this position, I should have no confidence that it's going to work. So I don't. But I still like it. I'm still okay with that. This guy is an NFL. He's been on the NFL roster there in Miami for a couple of years. You don't have many guys who are NFL receivers on your roster.
So I like the fact that he's a slot receiver. I think this has been, now again, I don't know if he can play or not, and he probably can't, but this is, Greg, you talk about them neglecting tight end. How about neglecting slot? Edelman's been headed down this road for a long time, and I don't know if this kid can play or not. I'm not saying that, but at least it's at a body. It's an attempt, because I don't have the utmost faith in Olszewski that he can jump in and do it.
Look, they're throwing nickels, dimes, and pennies at the talent positions on offense. I mean, this is what they always do. They're taking a flyer on the guy. We'll see. I mean, you're getting into, oh, yeah, he's going to play on the outside, and this guy's going to play in the slot. I mean, give me a break. You just throw him out there, see who can catch the ball and play. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? They don't even have any talent on offense, and we're overanalyzing Isaiah freaking Ford.
Well, now they have a slot guy, but they have no quarterback.
Sorry, I spent a few minutes on Isaiah Ford. All right, never mind Isaiah Ford.
I think you should go back to the salary cap stuff, the cash to cap.
Yeah,
okay. That's better.
I think they should play Martha Ford at slot.
Believe me, I will be going back to
cap space can be maneuvered, thank you, as we all know, in a number of different ways.
Much more on that coming up. But our long commercial-free segment is next, the last one with the big boy, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Patriots this year are paying Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham a combined $2.775 million. They have those three quarterbacks under contract for this season at a significantly lower number than the Dallas Cowboys are fighting to keep Dak Prescott for. And it shows you how the Patriots are adapting in a post-Tom Brady world now, diverting their resources to three different quarterbacks. May the best man win the job, and they can pay that quarterback going forward while the Dallas Cowboys are struggling to sign Dak Prescott long-term. He'll make $31.4 million this year. The Patriots will pay those three quarterbacks in base salary a combined $2.775 million.
It's really smart when you think about it. And Swagoo, that's one of the ways that you wind up winning all those championships is just play it smart. There's no risk zero downside on Cam financially or practically any other way, and the reward is so high, Marcus, that it's almost impossible to calculate it.
So this is the sort of stuff, Greg. This is why we bring it up. The credit the Patriots get for having sucky players.
Look at the Cowboys, 31.5 to Prescott. And they have to fight to pay it. Meanwhile, the Patriots are paying $3 million. No risk. No risk, not financially or on the field. You morons. You morons. Like, when did it become fashionable to have sucky players because they're cheap?
When you're the Patriots. You get credit somehow for having crappy players. You're like, you're somehow ahead of the game. How stupid Dallas is that they have a good quarterback, and how smart you are that you have three horrible ones.
Oh, I know. They're dumb. I mean, you know, again, the guy was leading the league in like every passing metric until he got hurt. Boy, really, are they dumb.
It's really what it becomes. And this clip was, old. It was from after they signed Newton. But, I mean, that's sort of what you get. That's the commentary you get on the Patriots, Greg. It's like, look at how ahead of the game they are. They have no quarterbacks on their roster. The brilliance of Bill Belichick. And this is why they win their championships, because they don't spend money. I just find that so asinine, Greg. And it does bother me. Of all the reasons they've won championships, their quote-unquote cap management is about dead last for me. It's dead last. It's what they've won because of their coaching and their quarterbacking. And it has coincided with some personnel hot streaks. Okay. The first three championships and the last three championships, those were good teams. Okay, maybe 01 wasn't quite there, and maybe this last one in 2018 had sort of faded roster wise. But that 03, that 04 roster, that was a great team, great personnel work, and in 16 or 14 and 16, that was a really good team too. So that's why they've won. It's not because they've managed the cap. That is such a myth. It's not even funny. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did they have more than one interior defensive lineman and one linebacker on those teams?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had some guys that could actually tackle and didn't get completely steamrolled every time the opposition handed the ball off. Oh, it's a joke. It's such a joke. And I know you've made this point before, too. When you go back and look at that 0-1 team, ooh, that defense was loaded.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, they were loaded on defense. They had a great defense. We just didn't know how good they were because a lot of those guys were young. Seymour was basically a rookie then, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was like a rookie year. Seymour was a force. He was a force. And they play, I mean, anyway, if you don't have the personnel, I don't care if you're the engineered child of Bill Belichick and Vince Lombardi.
But so to have, you know, Greenberg, but everyone says it all the time, or they used to, when the Pats wouldn't spend money. This is why they win championships. Ah, you bobos.
Oh, God. And again, he even says it. No risk, financial or otherwise. No, there is a risk.
Yeah, the risk is, Mike, that he sucks. That he sucks and he can't play.
The risk is 2-5.
And now you're 2-5. Of course there's. I hate when people say that there's no risk. What if he can't play? What if he can't play? Now you've peed away half the season. That's a risk.
I would say this. The Patriots have spent the second least amount of money in the league at quarterback. Only Jacksonville has spent less. And it shows. It shows. Jacksonville's quarterback situation is better than the Patriots. Patriots have the worst quarterback situation in the league. So I'm supposed to celebrate the fact that they haven't spent money there?
Hey, Greg, before you go, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What's your plan at quarterback for the Patriots? And I'm not talking about a specific. If you have a specific guy, I guess you can mention it. But what do you want them to do? Lose, get the highest pick possible, and take one of these kids in the top 10, and that's the guy? Do you want them to bridge it with a veteran? Do you want them to go big and make a trade for like a real guy, like a Stafford or, you know, Rodgers? Let's just get silly. What path do you want them to take?
Well, I mean, you're probably not going to like this answer, but I'm not tanking, because I just don't see how you have a actual football program and do that. I don't know how you face the guys in your locker room, the veterans on the team, if they get any inkling that you were doing that. So I just don't entertain it. That's why I don't think the Patriots will entertain it. Basically, I'm going to the end of the season, and I'm looking at the landscape in the offseason. I think a lot of dominoes are going to fall in terms of cap space, draft, what have you. I mean, ideally, I'm probably trading for, say, a Sam Darnold type, or maybe Garoppolo comes available. But I'm basically going to the end of the season. I'm getting all the data I can on Cam Newton, perhaps on Jarrett Stidham at some point. And then I'm going to go into evaluation mode in the offseason. I'm going to look at the chessboard, and I'm going to look down the line. I'm going to say, okay, well, what's going to happen in the draft? What's going to happen with the cap? Who's going to come available? And then I go and identify the best draft pick. I mean, personally, right now, just on first blush, a guy like Sam Darnold is a guy I would like to go after and get. And then I would like to augment with some sort of draft prospect, probably not one of the high ones, but perhaps because of the lack of a college football season, maybe some better prospects do end up falling to the second or third round and you find another Garoppolo type. And I'm also interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's sort of my plan.
So that's what I want. I want them to trade for a guy and draft a guy. I just want better than Darnold. You know, to me, my bridge quarterback is as good as I can make him. Like, I want a good bridge quarterback.
I think they're going to
have... I mean, look at Ryan Tannehill. I mean, look once he left Adam Gase, what he's done. I mean, look, I don't know if I would have paid, you know, like the Titans did for Tannehill. I probably would have went for Brady, but... there's something to be said for, I mean, I think Sam Darnold's really talented. And if Garoppolo could ever stay healthy, I think he'd be an ideal guy. But I think Darnold's pretty good.
I think there's going to be competition for those sorts of guys. I mean, Indy could use a guy like that. The Bears could use a guy like that. Detroit is another team. And all those teams, I think, are going to be in the middle of the pack.
Okay, so if Detroit's looking for a quarterback, is Stafford available? I would like that guy.
I look at it as a groom thing. You know what I mean? Like you bring it, right? You give them a year to sort of, and then now Indy might be more immediate. Chicago might be more immediate. But do you really want Phillip Rivers or Nick Foles? I would take a flyer on if I were the Patriots. I think he would fit here.
So, okay, Greg, any final words on the is the Patriots season over?
I don't think quite yet. It doesn't look good, but I want to see more. I want to see, you know, do they play really well against the Jets? Do they build off of this? And then maybe do they, I don't know how the hell they stop the Ravens running game, but who the hell knows? But I mean, in general, all this Belichick talk, the one thing that I came back to was, in my opinion, Belichick, what he told us yesterday was the Patriots, as we knew and celebrated them, you know, the smartest team in the league, the team that's had sustained excellence every single year for 20 years, which is why they will be studied for years to come. They no longer exist because they are now like every other team, which they have to, quote unquote, sell out for a couple of years, and then they got to pay the piper and they got to struggle. So this year, if they continue to go on and lose this year, means they are just like every other franchise suddenly after 20 years.
Okay. Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Give Greg a read or a subscription at Boston Sports Journal. We'll catch you next week, big boy.
See you, big boy.
All right. See you, boys.
Okay, meanwhile, Jimmy, what's going on right now?
Minutes to go until the NFL trade deadline.
Two firsts for Sony Michel and Illuminor. Who the hell says no? Nobody. Make it happen. Come on.
Okay, not minutes. We've passed it. We've hit the NFL trade deadline, and as we know, as it stands right this second, Stephon Gilmore is still a member of the Patriots. Sony Michel, still a member of the New England Patriots. We'll see if there's any trickle of late deals over the deadline. That tends to happen as well. If it happens, you'll hear it here first. But the Patriots did swing a deal today, in case you're just joining us. We'll give you that latest here in Big Jim Murray's update. There's no commercials, and we're right back to discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.